Blog Talk Radio.
He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size two, but I can shake it, like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys chase, all the right junk in all the right places. I see the magazine working out Photoshop. We know that shit ain't real. Come on, now make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. Cause every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry about the size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold at night. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass. Hey, I'm bringing booty back. Go ahead and tell them skinny bitches that. No, I'm just playing. I know y'all think you're bad, but I'm here to tell you every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass.
Barbecue superstars, friends, barbecue friends. This is Jennifer, hot off the grill. Hope everybody is doing great tonight. Tonight we're going to talk to Jim Elser from Sweet Smoke Q. I just talked to him and he said he would call in here in just a few minutes. So we're going to chit-chat with Daryl real quick and see what's going on with him tonight. How are you, friend?
Hey, Miss Jennifer. How you doing, man? How's everything going?
Great. Pretty good. Pretty good.
I put out some deals today. We've got 9 bottles of Tapatio hot sauce and 2 other things for $11. And if you just go on Barbecue Superstars, you can get the deal. It's 87 cents a bottle. And then the other things are steak sauce and I like $6 regularly, but I'm essentially going to let you have it for free. And so we got some stuff we're trying to sell, and ought to be pretty cool. But what's been going on with you, Jen?
Nothing, besides being a single mom this week because my husband's out of town. So I have to deal with all the children. So if anybody hears any kids yell tonight in the background, I apologize in advance. or if you help hear me yell at one of the kids, I apologize because they're.
Jennifer, let me ask you, what's it like getting up in the morning? I know you got to do a lot of stuff to get all the kids ready for school.
Oh yeah, yeah. I get up about 5:45 or 6 every morning, and then try to get myself ready, and then start getting them up a little bit after that, about 6:30, and getting them ready. And since I have two girls, you know, I've got to fix hair, and we got to eat, and that I have to leave my house by 7:30 because they all three go to different schools. And of course, we just live in a little town, but trying to get to the schools in the morning in this town is horrendous. The traffic is horrible. And so we try to leave early enough where we can beat the traffic, and I have to drop all three of them off at different places, and then it takes me 30 minutes to get to work so I get there at 8:30 and get off at 2:30 and then go get them. And then, you know, you got homework and sports and UIL events and student council and Cumbling and, yeah, constantly something. So, but football's over for us now, so that's a good thing. Now we're getting more into the UIL. Yeah, we only had like six games this year. They'd pay $10 more, but we only got half the game.
If you'd have missed a game, that'd have been really bad.
Yeah, no, I didn't miss any games, but they didn't win any either, so it didn't matter.
Oh, really?
Last year, it was weird because last year we pretty much had close to the same team, and we won every game, and we were undefeated. We even won the Super Bowl, but not this year. I don't know what happened. They all forgot how to play football over the summer, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But anyways, we'll basketball.
Are you
next
saying that your son,
we'll...
your son has a lottery pick, or his team's a lottery team?
I guess so. I don't know what happened. There's no telling. But then we'll do basketball, and then we'll do baseball, which is our sport. Oh, we'll be showing pigs in between now and then, too. Busy people.
Yeah.
But, okay, so when you were in Hobbs, did you interview Jim Elster or any of these contests that you've been going to?
Oh, every single one. He's the hottest team in the United States. He's got so much stuff going on. I think, really, because he won the FBA and his full line of products, he's his own franchise now. And can you imagine starting off really just beginning the barbecue to going straight to the top and becoming your own franchise in just 5 years? It's, you know, essentially, just like Cosmo Q, you can go to Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q's website, and totally go from nothing to barbecue champion with his line of products. And that's really exciting, you know, especially since Jennifer Campbell's going to hit the trail and be a major barbecue competitor this year.
That's my plan. Hey, he's on the line, so let's get him on here and we'll talk to him about his franchise. Did you hear that, Jim? Are you with us?
I'm with you. Hi, Jennifer. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, just another day in Florida. I just pulled up into Pompano Beach doing a contest down in South Florida. So that's why I'm a little late. I just pulled in here and just another day in the barbecue world.
I heard that.
So what is
now,
this contest?
What's that?
Go ahead.
What's that,
where
Jennifer?
Is this contest?
This is in Pompano Beach, Florida. It's an FBA contest. They're putting me on the spot here. They all run together. Every weekend. It's at the casino down here. It's I don't know the name of it, to be honest with you right now.
Oh.
But it's a 3rd year contest. We've been here every year, and we do pretty well down here. So we just pulled in.
So how long have you been cooking?
This is my 5th year. I'm getting close to 100 contests, probably 90, low 90, you know, 90 some contests in my 5 years. The first 3 years, were pretty much, well, the first 2 years, I would say I probably did no more than 10, 12. And the last 2.5, I've just been hitting it pretty hard, you know, pretty much every, seems like every weekend. And we did earlier this year from January 1st till sometime in May, we did like 21, 22 in a row. We didn't have a, break till like, I think the mid of May. So it's been, it's been a journey.
So how many did you do total last year? Do you know?
I'm going to say last year, I know in the FBA calendar year, we did 29 in the FBA calendar year, which was actually from September of 2013 to September 2014. We did 29. We won the FBA team of the year there. And I think I did another 6, 7, KCBS and a few non-sanctioned contests. So we just travel around and, you know, we like to cook, I guess.
So how did you get started? Like, what made you want to get into barbecue?
That's a good question. I get that asked a lot. I'm originally from Ohio. I've been down to Florida a little over 9 years. I came down to Florida for a job opportunity. I wanted to get out of the cold in the Midwest, and I took a job down here, and I was cooking, you know, I did back, you know, cooked in the backyard for friends and family, and every time we had a get-together, or, you know, some friends come over, hey, Jim, why don't you, you know, cook us some ribs, why don't you cook us some pork, you know? So I was always cooking barbecue in the backyard for friends and family, and I got pretty good at it, and then, in Ohio, where I'm from, we had a there's not many, you know, barbecue sanctioned contests up there. I don't even think there was. I didn't realize if there was at the time. But we had this from the Toledo area. We had this thing that was called the Rib Off every year, every summer, end of the summer, right on the river in Toledo, called the Rib Off. It was basically, you know, just a bunch of, you know, people cooking ribs and pulled in, you know, some teams across the country, just doing these rib cook-offs. So we would go there every year and hang out and have a good time. And I was like, man, that'd be cool if I could just, you know, I always wanted to compete in this rib-off, really didn't know anything about it. And then, you know, I had this job opportunity. I moved to Florida, and then one day I was bored at work. I come across the Florida Barbecue Association website, and I looked at that, I'm like, oh, okay. And I found some events in the, you know, the Central Florida, and we went to them just spectators and trying different things. At the time, I didn't realize that a lot of vendors, you know, the top teams did not vend. So we went and tried a bunch of ribs and different, you know, barbecue things. I'm like, man, I can cook a lot better than these guys. Long story short, I decided to build a cooker. I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, and I built a cooker in probably 3 weekends, and then my first contest was probably the biggest KCBS in the Southeast, which was the Lakeland Pig Fest in 2010, and I rolled in there and didn't know what to expect, and I was right across. I was right across Myron Mixon, Johnny Trigg was there, Tuffy Stone, and this was right when the first season of Pitmasters came out. So I kind of knew who, you know, it was kind of cool, like, wow, I'm competing against these guys.
kind of intimidating, so, isn't it?
At that point, yes and no. I was just so overwhelmed, didn't know what I was doing, you know. And by 5 o'clock Friday, I was ready to pack up and go. I was just... You know, I didn't, down here in Florida, and I'm sure in many parts of the country, there, you know, we have a lot of backyard contests along with there's a contest, there's a pro division and backyard division, and a lot of around, you know, down in Florida, they have, most contests have a backyard division. So me thinking, I don't want to compete in the backyard. I want to compete in the pros, see where I finish, and, you know, and in the pro, if you get a call, you're usually getting money. In the backyard, it's basically trophies and bragging rights, and I wasn't for that. You know, I want I want to win some money here. So we were pretty much overwhelmed. We rolled in there and with a open trailer with a pop up and a homemade cooker, and you know, we didn't get dead ass last, and you know, we didn't get any calls, but we were hooked by then. And at the end of the day on Saturday, I was exhausted. And if I didn't have enough, if I didn't have a lot of money wrapped up in it already, I probably would have quit. So I already had paid a couple contests in advance, and then you know, we went to the next weekend. We went to Winter Haven Smoke on the Water, which is my you know, that's where I live down here in Florida, and it's a big event. And you know, we did better. And then every contest we got better and better, and then in our fourth contest we got our first call, and you know, I was hooked. And then 5 years later, this is where I'm at. You know, last year we won Team of the Year in the FBA. The year before, we took second. We missed. We were leading the whole year and lost it by 5 points in the last contest. So when I first started this, that was one of my goals. I wanted to see if I can run with the big boys, you know, compete with these guys. And then everything started clicking, and it was kind of like an addiction. And I guess I haven't looked back since, you know. And then if I'm not competing during the weekend, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm lost. So, and that's what I like to do. I just go out there and compete. And then I have a full-time job in doing it. So I'm pretty busy. I'm actually extremely busy. I don't have any.
What is your personal job? I'm
a mechanical engineer. Yeah, I'm a mechanical engineer. I work for a company called Kegel in Lake Wales, Florida. We build or design and build bowling lane machines. The lane machines that clean and oil the bowling lanes. So I work in the engineering department. You know, I'm the head engineer there, and we come up with all kinds of crazy ideas in the bowling industry. So I've been there 9 years, and that's where, you know, I heard, you know, when I first followed, I heard Daryl talking about, you know, I have, you know, an empire or whatever. I don't think it's an empire yet, or whatever, or a franchise, or whatever he said. But we're working on some smokers. I have a drum smoker with an automatic temperature control I've been selling for the last couple of years. We can't keep those, you know, every time we build, you know, get a stockpile, we sell out. So
during the week, is that what you do? You build smokers, or do you have like other people that do that for you?
No, I don't build smokers. My son Garrett, he's been with me, you know, helping me in this competition, you know, from the very beginning. I think until 2 years ago, he, you know, the first 3.5 years, he missed like 2 contests. At the time, he's, you know, 14, 15 years old. Now he's 17, so he's actually the one, you know, fabricating and building these smokers. So he does that on the, you know, during the week and the weekends. And then I just go out and compete, and he doesn't get to come out and compete with me quite a bit as he used to, because he's got, you know, he's 17 years, you know, they don't want to hang out with their dad and, you know, this and that, which, you know, they got other interests, his friends and girlfriend. And so, you know, but he likes, you know, he's a very good, very smart kid. He's going to go to school and college to probably in engineering. And then, you know, he's working. He's actually going to work for me pretty much. He has a couple other jobs, but starting in December, he's just pretty much going to be working for me full time. And going to, you know, he's a senior, so all his free time, he'll be working for me. We'll be producing, you know, the drum smokers, and then we have another type of cooker prototype being built right now. So we're going to hopefully come out with that with the first of the year. We're doing a hybrid right now. We had somebody requested a hybrid drum smoker, so we're gonna do a hybrid drum smoker for them. The thing with the drum, I don't know if you're familiar with the drum smokers, but you know, they're just a 55-gallon drum with two racks, in a charcoal basket. And,
right.
And what I've done, I've come up, instead of, you know, buying a, you know, the, you know, Barbecue Guru or, you know, an automatic, I actually make my own temperature control.
Yeah, you got your own Barbecue Guru.
Yes, I got my own Barbecue Guru.
Holy man.
I don't have a name for it yet, and I've been selling these for 2 years, and these are the same thing. As soon as I build them, I sell it, you know. It's just, so the hybrid is the downside of a drum. They're very good cookers. I've cooked on drums for 4 years now. My fourth contest, you know, my first cooker was a stick burner. And if I was going to do this competition, staying up all night, you know, week in and week out, you just can't do it. You got to be focused. You know, you need some sleep. Me personally, I like my sleep. I'm not a morning person. I like to have sleep. And it just wasn't working for me, you know, in the morning. You know, I think you have to be focused to do well. And if you're tired, you're going to forget steps. You're going to forget to do things. You're not going to be sharp. So I think I did a little research on the internet, and I come across these UDSs, ugly drum smoker. So I built one in my garage a couple hours and took it to the first contest, and I took my pork and my butt and brisket on them, and I think I got a top five in both categories just by the first time I used it. And I was the first one down here in the FDA that I know of, you know, back, you know, 3-4 years ago, cooking on them. Now you walk to a contest, you know, in the FBA down here, you see a lot of them, and most of them are the ones I built. You know, I think a lot of people see, just no matter if it's barbecue or whatever, if you're winning on something or doing something, they want to know what you're doing, and they want to, you know, try to copy and use the same equipment that you're using. And you know, it's been pretty, I've been pretty blessed and fortunate that I've done well with these, and I'm selling a lot of these things. And they're really good cookers. But back to your question, you know, this hybrid, the downside of a UDS is you have to take the top rack off to get to the bottom rack. You have to open the lid. It doesn't have a door on there. I don't want to give too much information on this hybrid, but it's going to be easier to move things in and out, so it's going to be something unique that I don't know if I've seen this type of smoker out there, so it's something that we got in the works. And then we have another one that is an insulated. It's not a drum, but it's on the same principle concept. As it's got a charcoal basket with the drums. You put, you know, a bunch of charcoal in a basket with some wood chunks, and you just light a little bit, you know, just put about 20 briquettes in the top of the basket. And with that temperature controller, you know, you just set your temperature. You don't have to worry about it. It's like an oven. You set it and you forget it. So this new, what I want to do is I want to make some smokers, I want to make it affordable to new teams. A lot of people, most people, can't afford when they're starting out to go buy a Stumps or a Spice Line or a FEC for, you know, $3,000-$4,000. You know, that's I want to keep it under $2,000, and I want to build. I want to provide an affordable smoker for, you know, newcomers and even non newcomers. You know, just something that it cooks well. You don't have to spend that, you know, $3,000 to $4,000, because this sport, if anybody knows, if you're involved in this, you know, I pull into a contest, it's you know, $800 to $1,000 before you even get to the contest.
Yeah,
it's an expensive hobby. That's my goal. I want to provide, you know, something. I think there's something missing in the smoker market that's in that range, that's affordable and that's going to cook well and be not a piece of junk. You know, you can go to, you know, the big box stores and get a smoker, and you know, I've had those. They don't last long, and they're hard to maintain temperatures. So my thing is I want to provide a good quality smoker for a reasonable price.
So why don't you, so you don't have a name for your guru? Is that what you said?
No, I haven't. You know, I just there's been I need to get a name for it. I just call it the automatic temperature controller right now because I really haven't marketed it. I don't even have it on my website really. There's a picture of a you know my drum smokers are called the juice can because the juice can came from my injection, which is called the juice. I got a pork juice, which is a pork injection, and I just came out with a beef juice. And there's a chicken juice in the works, so we're just kind of playing off that juice theme, you know, the juice can. The smoker, you know, might be the juice, this new one that we're coming up, I don't know. So we're just playing off that.
You should have a Facebook competition.
Yes, and I thought about that. I mean, yes, I thought about that, and but there's a part of me in that say, okay, somebody names it, they're going to want rights to this or whatever, but you know, I thought about
no,
it.
No, there's
you know,
ways around that, though. You just put, like, a disclaimer, you know.
Right,
basically,
right.
Like,
and
you know what it is. When you become a Fortune 500 company, you just become a target. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, I thought about it, but I haven't made that decision yet. I'm not a marketing kind of person, and and I'm getting ready
to. You should hire me.
I'm getting ready to, like I said, we're gonna take the Sweet Smoke brand and take it from where it is. We're gonna step it up a notch in 2015. I'm looking at some sales and marketing people to eliminate some of that work off my shoulders because I want to compete. I want to, you know, promote my brand at the competition. I'm not the kind of sales person or marketing person to go out. I have somebody in mind that is probably going to bring on board here, and we're going to talk to that person here in the next couple weeks. And then, you know, with my son kind of working for me somewhat full-time on his duty, we should be able to push out some products. And then, you know, we got the injections with the juice. We got sauces. I have two sauces. I got a sweet sauce. I got a spicy sauce that I use these in competition. And I actually have another sauce that I've been using in competition, only that I've been using, that I want to bring out in early next year. And I have rubs that I use. I haven't marketed them yet. They used to be on my website. I took them off because I'm the kind of person, I'm tweaking a little bit here and there. I don't want to put something out there that I'm not 100% happy with. And that's what happened with this beef juice. I've had this formula for this beef juice for a couple of years, and I've just been playing around with it, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted. And I first of this year, I just decided to use it for myself 100% of the time in the competition. Last year I was gone on and off with it, you know, tweaking it. And last year my brisket really suffered. I think I was fifth in the team deer and brisket points. I won chicken, ribs, and pork in the FDA. So my brisket was lagging. So first of the year, I'm like, all right, I'm going to run for the team. I'm trying to win the team of the year again. I'm going to go with my brisket injection. And once I started using that, I think last year I was second in the team year. And right now I think I'm second for this year in the brisket. So.
But see, I like to hear that because do you know how many teams that I've talked to personally, and I'm not going to say any names over the air, but that have their own rub but do not use their own rub? I mean, there's a bunch.
Yeah.
That was
surprising.
Yeah. Why would you sit there and your own rub and then use somebody else's? Like, you don't believe in what you're making, basically.
Right.
You're right.
And I'm not that way. I mean, I don't use strictly my own rubs. I use other people's rubs. I just want to make sure that when my rubs or my product, I'm using. I get calls and emails and messages all the time about, especially, you know, the pork and beef juice. You know, that's probably my it is my biggest seller right now. It's pretty hot. And they'll ask me what I mix it with or use. And I've had people like, well, you don't use that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I pour it right out of the bottle and I'll tell you what I mix with it.
Right.
And anybody that has a question on any of my products, if they say, well, I'm struggling here. I just talked to a guy today. He was struggling in pork. He's used my juice before. Didn't have the results he wanted. He went back to, he said, Butcher's or Cosmos pork. And he said, you know, he's seen some things on the pork juice. And then he messaged me and I talked to him today about, you know, this is what I do. This is my step. You know, this is what I cook the temperature to. So if you're using my product, I'm going to help you because it, you know, if you do well with my product, you're going to mention, word of mouth is going to, you know, is the
exactly.
One of the best advertising, you know, to get the product out there. So I'm helping people. Mm-hmm. And like anybody out there listening, if they want to shoot me a message or whatever, they want to try my product, I'll tell you exactly how I'm using it and what I'm doing to win. But I don't want to give everybody out, you know, over there or what I'm doing, you know, use my product, you know, make sure that, you know, I'm going to show you or tell you or teach you how to use that product.
And so you have the can cooker, but I heard that you were coming out with a square rotisserie cooker. Is that something that's in the works too?
There's a square insulated right now. There's not a rotisserie in it, but that it, there's enough, it's in the works. There's a lot of things in the works. I just don't have the resources in the time right now. It's coming. What I want to do, I want to have a, you know, several different types of cookers for different, every, you know, all my, I think you need, you know, in the four categories of competition, you have to have, I have four separate cookers. I feel that, you know, everything needs its own little temperature, its own little time. So, you know, these guys, and don't get me wrong, there's guys that put all their categories on one cooker and do well. I just feel like, and I've tried that. It's just easier to have separate cookers. You can dial in different temperatures, different times. You don't have to be opening, you know, the door to get, you know, your chicken out or your ribs to do this. You can
mess up the temperature.
I want to have a variety of, you know, smokers. That's my goal. And then I want to have, you know, rotisserie, and even in the you know, the future, I want to go into commercial smokers. I want to build commercial smokers, you know, compete with, you know, the old Hickory and that kind of stuff. That's my goal. I want to make this, I want to make, you know, the Sweet Smoke to you as a barbecue, you know, a one-stop shop where you can, you know, you have all different types of smokers, all different types of rubs, all different types of, you know, sauces. That's my goal, and I'm just fairly new. I mean, really, I'm just fairly new in this game. I've been cooking 5 years, and really, 2 years. I mean, the last 2 years, I've really, you know, put 100% or more than 100% effort into this. I mean, my every waking moment. If I'm not at my day job, I'm, you know, if I'm not doing my day job and I'm at home, I'm doing it. My mind is always thinking about, you know, barbecue, whether how can I, I'm struggling in chicken. How can I make that better? You know, what kind of products can I help other people? I like to help people. That's what I want to do. You know, it's not going to get there overnight. I understand because I'm that kind of person. Like I said, I want to make sure that my product is, I'm 100% happy, not 95% happy. I want to be 100% happy before I go to market.
Jim, let me ask you one question. How long have you been number one in pork in the FBA?
Probably, I would say, 3 years. I mean, I
3 years,
kinda,
that's what I thought. I know you were all last year and the year before that, so
yeah,
3 years straight.
I don't know what it is. You know, I just, not, you know, my... And maybe it's an injection. Maybe it's, you know, it's a lot of it is I can put in on different rubs, and I've done this myself. different, little bit different flavor profiles and still win. I think a lot of it is the moisture and the tenderness of your meat. As long as it is not something, a rubber or a sausage, if it's not overpowering, if it's good, I should say, you know, good average barbecue, nothing else. You taste it. You know, I can't taste, you know, cayenne. I can't taste, you know, a certain spice. I think you just need good, average, tasty barbecue, and it's got to be cooked very well. And I told a lot of people, I can switch up my rub. I don't know about my sauce because I use a unique sauce, but I think I can switch up rubs and still produce a winning, you know, a pork pantry. Just because I think a lot right now it's a tenderness game, and you have to have that tenderness right on, and that's hard to learn. That takes a while to master what the judges are looking for in the tenderness, and I teach, I have a couple cook schools, and that's one of the hardest things to teach. I can teach you flavor profiles, but the hardest thing to teach you is when that piece of meat is tender, when it's done, where the judges will score it high. It's a feel thing, and that's the hardest part to teach. You just have to, you know, feel it and just kind of cook. You know, the more you do it, the more you get to feel. So, I think.
Flavor, so you do teach flavor profiles?
Yes, I teach. If you come to my class, I'm teaching 95% of what I'm doing, if not more.
Wow.
I'm the kind of person, if you're going to take my class, I want you to get something out of it. I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to just tell you how to do this. I'm going to tell you why I do this, why I do certain things. I think that's the engineer in me. You're saying, you know, I'm always wondering why or how in solving problems. So I'm telling you why I trim it this way, why I put it on this temperature. So it's not just like I can tell, and I told my, you know, the people, the students who take my class, I can give you my recipes, I can give you everything, but you're going to have to go out there and cook it.
Do it.
You're going to have to do it. And I teach, like I said, I teach about 95% of what I'm doing. This is my flavor profile. I might say, okay, this is rough. This is the rub I'm using. I'll give them some rubs I've used, but I'm not going to tell you, if I'm using my rub, which is not available, I'm going to say, this rub is, I have two different types of rubs. I got a salt, I call it a salt-based rub, which the main ingredient is salt, and I have a sugar-based rub. And a salt-based and a sugar-based rub has two different applications, and I teach that in the class. And I tell them, if you want a salt-based rub, you know, these, you know, Cosmos, what these are salt based. Look at the ingredients. Most rubs out there are sugar based, but I have, you know, and there are some salt based rubs out there. But you know, I have two different ones that I teach why you use these in that, you know, situation. You know, there's reasons for that. You know that, and I'm not saying that that's, you know, true to everything or this, you know. You know, Meyer Mixon or Tubby Stone or Ruff Bagley or Dana Hill are doing the same thing. That, you know, those are great cooks, you know, cooks too. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they had the same, you know, concept as what I'm teaching. But what I found out in my, you know, 5 years, you know, two and a half, basically, you know, last 2.5 years, that I've learned a lot figuring out what works and what doesn't. And that's what I teach.
That's awesome. People got technique.
I think that's awesome that you do it that way. Okay, I have a random question for you, but we've got different people who have said different things on my show before, but what is the pink drink? Can you fill us in on that?
Ask the people out in the Hobbs, New Mexico what the pink drink is.
We have, and we've got different recipes, and I want to know the actual recipe so I can make them.
Oh, my God. If I give out the actual recipe, which I will for you, Jennifer, I'm going to give it out tonight. The pink drink awesome. Write this down. The pink drink is a clear glass of ice, It's got to be clear glass, so you got to see the pink, that it's a pink drink. You can't have a red Solo cup. You got to be a clear Solo cup. Fill that with ice, completely with ice. Take your favorite vodka, not chilled, because if you chill it, the amounts won't, I mean, it won't taste, but take room temperature vodka, pour about 2/3 over the ice. What that does, it kind of waters it down a little bit. You think you're pouring a lot of vodka in there, which, yeah, you're pouring some vodka in there, but it's kind of being watered down a little bit. So you're going to put a third of vodka and fill it up with some good lemonade. Don't use some really good tart lemonade. I don't know the name. I have to look at it, but there's a brand that I use down here. Simply Natural. But it's a good lemonade, and then just a splash of cranberry, Ocean Spray regular cranberry cocktail juice. Splash that.
God, I got it wrong. I thought you had Sprite in it, man. It's lemonade. Dang.
No, just lemonade. There's no Sprite.
On my show right after Hobbs, we were talking, Forrest Guest was on, and he was talking about pink drink, and Daryl was talking about the pink drink, and everybody was giving all, then, oh, they had a big fight over it, Sprite, no, it's lemonade, no, it's this, no, it's that, and nobody could get it right, and I'm like, somebody get it right, because I want to try this. So that's funny.
So there's no Sprite in there, there's nothing. So that's the exact recipe.
And I know how to make
so wrong about anything in my life, man. Oh, my God. I was way out left field, Jim. God almighty.
So we broke the record at a competition for the most, we had the big bottles, the handles of vodka.
Oh,
we went through
God.
eight big bottles of vodka in Hobbs for 2 days. Normally at a contest in Florida or wherever we go, we're barely pushing two, but in Hobbs we did eight big bottles.
That's because these Texas people don't have to drink.
I wasn't there. I just want everybody to know I wasn't there, but I did hear that Forrest Guest walked around with one in each hand all night.
Yes, he did. Yeah, we had a good time. We won grand out there, and you know, and I got up there and after awards, and I said, you know, an FDA tradition down here, the winner, you know, usually it's not a, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, we all, most of us do it, if not all, the grand champion buys pizza after FDA contest for the people that stay. So when we won grand in the house, I got up there and mentioned that, you know, we're going to buy pizza and we're going to have the pink drinks will be flowing. And I tell you what, we bought a bunch of pizza and the pink drinks did flow. We had a good time.
I wasn't there, but I heard there was a half a pickup load in the big 250 pickup Texas style. And Forrest Guest formed a line. It was like 15 people in a line with all his hands over their shoulders, and they all had their hands, and they were just rocking back and forth. And, you know, that was the first course line that I heard was at a party before, and the pink drink just blew it out of the water that night. And I wish I'd have been there, Jim, you know.
I think I did see your twin brother, Daryl, there.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't
Dang,
you,
I told
you,
him
you,
not to go down there, man. I mean,
it was. I think it was your twin brother.
Oh, okay.
No, but we had a blast. We did. We had a blast. That was one of the funnest contests we've ever done. Not saying because we won grand. I've won grand, you know, many times, and this was one of the top five contests, if not the top three contests. We had a blast at. It was. We had I don't know how many people around my trailer, and we had a truckload of pizza. You know, so we went through 8 liter or 8 big bottles of vodka. There was quite a few people hurting the next morning.
You've never been to Breastfest. There's your problem.
No,
that, you need to come to Breastfest because that is a good time. Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard
maybe
about
I
it.
Can
it's fun.
Maybe I can
it's
fit that in my schedule.
Well, go ahead. It's the second weekend of August, every year, same
weekend in August. Okay.
Yes, sir. So go ahead and put that on your schedule. But speaking of, you said you saw Daryl's twin brother. Okay, what's the story with your twin? He's not even related to you, right?
Yeah, well, he's actually my brother's twin, but that's Steve Smith from Blazing Seven, you know, down here from Florida. He's a fairly new cook team, but my brother Jeff lives in Vegas. He comes, you know, helps me at a couple contests in Florida, and he was with me in New Mexico, and Steve and Jeff look like twin brothers, and we're not even related to him. And we posted on Facebook and stuff like that. And some people don't realize, you know, they can't pick out the difference.
Oh, I thought it was you.
No.
No, I thought it was you and Steve, not your brother and Steve.
Well,
so your brother is learning.
Personally, I think he does look more like Steve. I mean, Jim, he looks more like you, man. I mean,
there was a picture I had gone around of me and Steve, but I think we all probably look like triplets. Some way.
Well, what I can't understand is why everybody in the FBA is starting to look like you. Every time you look around, you're like, there goes another Jim Elser. I don't understand what's going on. I mean,
when my brother Jeff comes from Vegas, you know, at a contest, he gets mistaken, you know, for me all the time. He'll be walking and he's like, hey, Jim, hey, Jim. He's like, no, I'm Jeff. I'm not Jim. I'm the brother, you know, of Jim. So, my brother Jeff just started competing on his own out in Vegas. So he's done two contests, and the two contests he's done very well. So when he was coming up with a name to register with the KCBS, he wanted kind of help promote, you know, Sweet Smoke brand. So he come up with, we come up with his team name, the brother of Sweet Smoke Q. Always at a contest, like, hey, Jim, no, I'm Jeff, the brother of Sweet Smoke Q. So that's how his name, his team name come up. So it's kind of
my sister all the time. She's actually quite a bit taller than me, but for some reason people still think that we're twins. And I had a girl walk up to her one day and was like, how was breakfast? Oh my god, I'm so sorry, I missed it. She's like, no, that's not me, that's my sister.
Yeah,
that's the craziest thing. And then there was a girl that talked to her for like an hour one night and kept talking about Hannah, which is my daughter, kept saying Hannah, and she's like, do you think that's my daughter? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, no, that's my niece. I'm not Jennifer. And she's like, oh, my God. I thought you were her. And I'm like, we are like,
yeah.
I mean, we look alike. We have blonde hair, blue eyes, but she's way taller than me. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
But
that's the like
okay,
my
so
brother
I got
Jeff.
A,
you know,
go ahead.
No, that's what I said. That's just like my brother Jeff. You know, he goes to, you know, comes to a contest in Florida or whatever. It's just, he's like, Everybody thinks Jeff is me. Nope.
Okay, well, I got a private message on Facebook earlier, and I'm going to ask this question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but somebody asked if you're single.
If what?
If you're single, do you have a girlfriend?
No, I am single at this point.
Okay. Well, she's listening, so I will let her know. She lives in Texas. I don't know why she's asking.
Yes, I'm single. I don't think I could do this, what I do, and have, you know, have a girlfriend or wife. It's just like I said, I put every waking hour in this so-called hobby, this passion, this addiction.
It is addictive. It's very addictive.
Yeah.
I had never been to a cook-off. Well, I had been to one as a spectator, but I didn't go in the judging area or cook. I didn't really even know what was going on. I was just there drinking. And when I started Breastfest, I didn't know anything. I knew nothing. And then as soon as we started Breastfest, I guess the second year into it is when my husband just really got hooked. He got like second place, third place. I don't know. Him and Lance have a fight every time this is discussed, because Lance says that he got second place margaritas. My husband says, no, I did. And he just placed some margaritas, and he was like, I'm hooked, and started, and he cooked chicken breast that year too. He didn't place, but he cooked chicken breast. And from then on it was, and he I think he would sell pieces of his body to be able to go to every contest he possibly can, because
I think majority of us would. And you know, I'm pretty fortunate that, you know, with my real job, I can take some time off and do the things I do. Because I talk to a lot of people, like, you know, I would love to, you know, cook as much as you do. It gets wearing on your body. You know, I can physically do it, but mentally, you know, I got a lot going on, and it's like I need to slow down a little bit, but I don't want to. I mean, I think you talk to most people out here, it's an addiction. You know, you come out here, and I've had, you know, friends or people that I know come cook with me or come help me, and next thing you know, they're forming their own team just because they had such a great time. It's just, you know, it's like I call this my barbecue family, whether it's in Florida, you know, anywhere in the country. I've met so many great people I'll call friends for life, you know, just in this. It's just a wonderful sport. It's a wonderful, you know, family. You know, there's families that will, you know, compete out here, you know, they bring their families and stuff. And it's a really cool thing.
Well, Jim, let me ask you this. Going through the four categories as you're doing that process in the trailer at a competition, it's mm-hmm. really like gratifying. And it's like you know what to expect for each thing you're doing. You hope the meat comes out of the cooker exactly the way you want it. But then, you know, when you get to the pork and you've got to work all them different parts of the pork, and then you get to the brisket, you're usually kind of tired by the time you get to the brisket. But when you get done with the brisket and that beautiful box you had down at Lake City that you put in the camera for me, when you turn that last box in, I mean, there's like a feeling of you scored a touchdown or you crossed the finish line at a big race. You get that feeling, don't you?
Yeah, it's more like a crossing the finish line running a marathon. It's just so gratifying that it's just like, okay, I especially if you think you've done your job, you know, cooked as best you could, you know, that's when it's like, okay, I did my best. I'm happy with that. It's like, whether, you know, like a marathon, whether you come in, you know, first or mid pack, if you feel like you've done your best, you know, that's all you can hope for. It's in the judge's hands after that point. And I tell a lot of people, you have to be true to yourself, what you turn in. I used to, you know, when I first started, like, okay, everything I cooked was good, you know, but really be true to yourself, you know, what you turn in. Could you cook it better? I always ask myself, you know, every turn in, you know, especially once all the turn ins are done, I'll kind of, you know, after turn ins are done, I pour me a pink drink. We call it the 205-01 drink. So I pour me a pink drink. I don't drink pink drink until after the last, you know, turn in. So, and I'll kind of wind down and think about how my cook went, if I was satisfied with that. What can I do different, or, you know, that. So, like I said, you got to be true to yourself, how you cook. Could you cook it better? I've scored first place many times, and I thought I could do better. But it's out of your hands. And once you turn it into the judges, it's out of your hands. So you only can figure out, or, you know, after awards, you know, you look at your scores, and even that, it's not 100% true to what you turned in. You know, you're only turning it into six, you know, six judges are tasting that. You know, if you turn it into a different six judges, you might have got a different outcome. So you just have to realize and be true to yourself, is like, what could I do better?
Let me ask you one more question. I'm sorry I'm jumping in, but I just want to ask you one more thing. Is there more and more sauce? You know, the whole thing about brisket over the years has always been you only paint it with the SU. You don't really put no sauce on it. But there's getting to where people are getting better about saucing their brisket. There's getting to be more and more sauce on a brisket.
I have never put sauce on my slices. Never. It's
never.
Just au jus.
Okay.
Really?
Never. The only thing I put sauce on, and I think it would be burnt ends. And I think I've been getting too heavy on the sauce. And this weekend, especially, you know, down here for it. And, you know, I competed out in, you know, I competed out in New Mexico, in Ohio, and out in Nevada. And, you know, other parts of the country. Just mainly, you know, most of my competition is in the Southeast. We're known for, you know, the judges like, they call it their candy. You know, this is last turn in. You know, they try the you know, if you put burn-ins in there, they want something sweet. So I've been kind of getting towards the too much sauce on there. I've noticed from, you know, my last several contests, my burn-ins have been getting pretty saucy. And they're still good, but I think they're just too saucy. And then what I did in Hobbs, I pretty much did my same flavor profile I do in Florida in Hobbs. I cut back on the sauce on the burn-ins because, yeah, you know, what I've heard from Texas, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen a burn-in sauce, you know, in Texas. I mean, Jennifer, you might be able to, you know, answer that question. You know, do they sauce burn-ins out there? Do they sauce, you know, their brisket out there?
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person because I don't cook, but my husband has called in 3 different times and he wants to talk. So you can ask him that because he's on the phone.
Okay.
He's on the line right now.
Right.
So, John, can you answer that question?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I okay. Barely can hear you.
Barely?
Now I can hear you. You're good.
Okay. In Texas, honestly, IBCA, whenever we're cooking, we don't do burn-ins. So we do 9 slices, and there's a lot of guys that do sauce their brisket. Me, personally, I don't. I'll slice mine. I wrap mine after 4 hours. I'll slice it, and then I'll just stick it back in the juice until, you know, probably 5 minutes before turning, and I'll pull it out, put my 9 slices in the basket, and then I'll turn it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7 slices. It's only 9 slices
If there's over 50 cooks, you turn in 9. If there's under 50, you turn in 7. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah. Go ahead, Judge.
So
you
once your brisket's done, you actually slice it and let it sit for a while.
Yeah, I'll get my brisket up. I like to have my brisket around, you know, 200 degrees. I'll pull it off then, and depending on where I'm at on the cook, I'll put it into a cooler and let it rest for a little bit, or a Cambro, which I don't have, but I'll let it rest for a little bit, and then 5 to 10 minutes before turning, a little before that, I'll slice it up, but I'll let it sit in the juice till about 5 to 10 minutes before turning, and then that's whenever I actually put it into the turning basket.
Yeah, I'm always afraid to slice mine. I slice mine at the very last minute, maybe 10, 15 minutes before, and I'm slicing it, and it's going in the box. Because I just feel like if I'm slicing it, you know, you're releasing some of the moisture. But I know teams even down here, you know, they'll slice it an hour or so before and put it on you and do well. I think it's just a personal, you know, preference.
Something to learn from you, Jim,
because
you've done a lot better than I have
on these cook-offs. and like I was saying, you know, I cook the same as I did that I've done in, you know, the Southeast and when I went to Hobbs. I was kind of, I think all of us Florida teams, you know, there's 4 of us that went out there, we were all concerned about, you know, the flavor. We were concerned about, we didn't know what to expect. And I talked to, you know, all those guys, you know, the 3 other guys are out there with me, you know, especially with brisket. Brisket was a big talk, you know, we're in beef country, you know, what we do. And I think all 4 of us, we did not change up much. The only thing I did was I put a little more pepper. And even down here in Florida, I put quite a bit of pepper, I think, than normal. I mean, most people do down here. So I think beef and pepper go very well. And I added more spice to it. And Daryl, you've had my brisket. You had my brisket in New Mexico, and you had my brisket in Lake City, and they were pretty much the same taste.
Well, I don't know about that. Now, I mean, there was a little spin there on Hobbs, you know, that I felt. I mean, the question is, where'd you get your pepper from in Hobbs? Did you haul it from Florida?
Yeah, that was Florida pepper.
Oh, it was? Okay. I tell you, something need to check in now. John can attest to this. They've got different black pepper out there in Texas, and I went to a restaurant, and it was significantly different. And, I don't know if they got it fresh from the, you know, the round kernels and crushed it fresh when they got it or what, but that pepper they got in Texas is, like, awesome.
Really?
Yeah, we grow our own pepper here in Texas.
Do we?
I don't think so.
I'm
good, Jennifer. Sorry.
Because I could drive by pepper from my Costco.
I went to a restaurant. It was called Texas. It was the National Barbecue Association. Texas something is right outside of San Marcos. And the kernels were bigger. The flakes that were on the brisket was bigger. And when you ate it, it just gave you a much more pronounced flavor. I tell you who else has the same pepper that maybe they're just handling the kernels the same way is Harry Sue out in California. That's the only other person I've seen pepper on his brisket and pepper on it. Now, Harry Sue uses black pepper on a lot of stuff, but I don't know if they crush it into bigger kernels, you know, like bigger flakes. But I'm telling you, there's a difference there, and I don't know if somebody will discover that one of these days. And like a Wagyu, you got to get that pepper.
Yeah.
But there's a pepper out there that black kernels that's different. I'm telling you. It's
well, yeah, there's different types of, you know, I'm going to call it black pepper. There's different types of peppercorn. There is different types of peppercorn. So maybe they're using something different where, you know, I just use the normal, you know, the black pepper. You know, it's not like, you know, the black
pepper. Do y'all have a Walmart there in Florida?
Yeah, we got them all over here.
I just buy my pepper at Walmart.
No, I like to crack my own peppercorn. I mean, even when I'm at home, you know, I got peppermint.
Is that what you use?
What's that?
Do y'all use McCormick, sir?
I get that peppercorn. I don't know. It comes in. Let me look. I can probably tell you right now.
Because I'll just tell you, McCormick's is real big around Texas, or around Lubbock.
Oh, is it?
I use and we crush our own. I buy the whole peppercorns, and then we've got a crusher that we use on them. And that may be what Daryl's talking about. You know, the difference between a fine ground peppercorn and a little bit larger flake on it.
Yeah, especially if it's fresh ground. I mean, it's definitely different than I don't like to use the already pre-ground. I like to use the peppercorns, but the peppercorns I use right now, I got the container out. It's Tones, T-O-N-E apostrophe S.
Yes.
Sam's Club brand, essentially.
Yeah, Sam's Club. Yeah, basically.
Well, Walmart and Sam's are the same thing.
Well,
McCormick. Now, McCormick quality, I would put that over the pepper. I would put that over Tones pretty high. I got an actual case of Sours and McCormick paprika. And I took them and gave them out at the contest. And the Sours, I could not smell. You know, I didn't even know what it was when they sent it to me. I sent them a text email. But the McCormick, you could smell the paprika before you even opened the box up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be something there then about freshness. And, you know, metal cans, you won't lose the oil as fast. McCormick,
right,
a lot of times, metal cans.
Right.
So.
And that's the thing with back to, you know, with rubs and stuff, where a lot of people will develop their rubs. You know, say a barbecue team wants to put a rub out in the market, so they'll go to Walmart or Sam's or Restaurant Depot and get these spices. You know, who knows how long they've been sitting on the shelf.
Right.
And then once they develop this, okay, they're going to go to a co-packer and say, well, I want you know, 500 pounds of this. So they give them the recipe, and these co-packers are, you know, they're going through spices all the time. So they're just fresh, and it doesn't taste the same. So, and that's where when I develop my rub, I
I don't use the spices that you get from Walmart or whatever. I actually get my spices through a, you know, a spice company that I know they're fresh.
Oh, okay.
And how do you package yours?
What's that?
How do you package yours? Does it just come in like a plastic bottle or?
Well, right now I haven't packaged them for resale in a while. They were just in a, you know, basically like a vacuum sealed bag, just because I wasn't.
Oh.
I really wasn't marketing them, because back to where I was saying, I was tweaking a little bit here and there, and I don't want to put something, I pulled it off my website because I'm tweaking, because if somebody got this this rub, say this one rub, and they like it, and I change a little bit, and then they get it the next batch, and they're going to say, hey, what's wrong? And that has happened. Say, oh, I like your rub, but you're like, well, I'm in the process, I'm in the R&D process of doing this. You know, it's similar, but it's a little different. And that's why I pulled off my website, because I don't want people to, you know, while I'm still tweaking it, to get if they like it or dislike it, I want to make sure that I'm happy with it before I sell it to the public. So
now we're getting somewhere. So you get direct from the spice company. Now we're hunting for a name right now, just a little, you know, maybe a guess, you know, what company you might be getting it from. I mean,
he's got to keep some kind of secrets. I mean, hell, he already gave me the pink rusty, you know, the pink drink rusty.
Hey,
he's
got
kind of
quiet around
here. That's
right. Here.
That'll be flying on Facebook tomorrow. Which I don't care.
The pink drink rusty?
No,
I just want
don't
it for myself.
Him,
I just want the pink drink rusty for myself. I'm going to make me some. So I've got some good vodka in there.
Well, Jennifer, when you make the first one, take a picture and send it to me.
I will. I'm going to have to find me a clear glass, because I'm kind of the low class person. I just go with the, you know, the red Solo cup.
No, pink drink is served.
I'm going to have to
clear.
Move on up tomorrow.
Jim, now, I just would like to suggest to you, John's really, really good guy, and he's liked by a lot of teams out there. And Jennifer is too, and he'd make a great point of marketing for you. And he needs help to get his team together better. I think he could win. I went out and talked to him a lot in Lubbock, and so, you know, somewhere down the road, if you and him could build some kind of relationship, because he could use your help too. But, you know, you could sweet smoke you his trailer out and sweet smoke you his team out.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah,
know,
get
him the signage and everything. Yeah.
Stop. Go inside. He would love nothing more than to go to one of your classes. He's been following you for a long time, and he loves your stuff. So
I appreciate it.
He's probably going to come home and order Lord only knows how much off your website. There's no telling.
Yeah, and there might be, just to put a little teaser out there, there might be a sweet smoke class coming to Texas.
That would be amazing.
If you let me know.
I want you to announce it on my show, because I do know a bunch of the teams, and I will put it out there.
Okay, because there was some there's been a lot of interest when I was out in Hobbs, and so.
Yeah, put breakfast on your calendar, and we could join up on that, and we'll do a little before breakfast, they could come to your class top thing.
Right. So, my schedule, there seems like there's not enough hours on that, but I'm trying to accommodate, you know, people that are interested, you know, been talking with some people in Georgia, having a class up there, and, you know, how I cook, my class down here, my class is down here in Florida, it's geared towards the FBA, because that's what I normally cook, but I teach, you know, how to build a KCBS box, you know, talk about that. I think, like, we were back to where we were talking about good average barbecue. I think, you know, it shows our, you know, I didn't change really no flavor profiles when I went out to New Mexico. I think it will work in Texas. I think it will work in Ohio. I think it will work in California.
Right.
And,
And we did, you know, we went out to the World Food Championship last year, and we did the Lawson USA Barbecue Championship, and we did pretty well out there, especially in Lawson. We did very well out there. So I think with the flavor profiles that I teach, you know, I think that they'll do pretty good any part of the country.
Right.
So there's a lot of things in the work for, you know, for Sweet Smoke, you know, classes and stuff like that. It's, you know, so there was talk about, you know, in Texas, and, you know, hopefully I can make that happen in maybe the summertime in 2015, you know, next year.
Yes, that would be a lot of fun. We would love to have you either way, breast test or not, you know, just to come down here. And how much do you charge for your classes?
Yep, I'd love to, and I'm gonna try to make.
How much do you charge for your classes?
It's $500 a person, and then if you got a spouse or a teammate, there's a reduced cost. The teammates right now it's $400 for a teammate, and a spouse is the $300. So you'll get your money's worth. You can ask. Last week's contest, there was four of my students there. The one team beat me. I took reserve. They took grand. They got their first grand. They took my class.
Did
Blazing
Sevens take your class?
No, Blazing Sevens did not take my class. They wanted to, they wanted to, but they had something to come up on that weekend. And then, you know, there was a team that they got the very first call. They're fairly new. They've been struggling. They took my class. Actually, it was Skinny's Barbecue that was out there. He pulled my rig out there. So he got his very first call, and he was ecstatic. And a guy that was been cooking backyard down here in Florida. His first pro contest. He took my class. This was his first pro contest, and he got a fifth place brisket and a 12th overall in the pro division. 12th overall, so he was ecstatic. So, you know, I'm teaching them how, you know, what they need to be turning in, what the judges are looking for, flavor profile. So
have you ever been to an IBCA cook-off?
No, I haven't. I know, I've heard about them. I know about them. They sound interesting. And one of these days, you know, I'd like to cook in all these things. Just to, you know,
right. There's just not enough time for Jim Elter.
That's right. Maybe one of these days when, you know, I got my son Garrett, you know, doing all the building, and, you know, I got the marketing people doing all the, you know, the marketing and paperwork and emails, and where I can just concentrate on. My goal is I want to concentrate and go to different parts of the country, do different sanctions. That's, you know, promote my product. That's what I want to do. I want to get people in the right positions to do, you know, take a lot of the work off my hands. Which it's going to be hard for me to do because I, you know, it's my brand. I don't want to just say okay to somebody, and I want them to do it right.
You want to be the hands-on and behind
yeah.
the wall.
Yeah.
And
I realize I can't do that. You know, if what I want to do, I can't do that. So.
Right.
Well, I know what the,
well,
when I look at your trailer, you know, I feel cool, and I just want to jump into blue water. It just makes you feel like, I mean, it's... And I think that's one thing that's going to translate over to the general public is your brand makes people feel good. I just like looking
at
the color.
I got a good logo, and my trailers, you know, the graphics is pretty cool. I get, you know, all, you know,
the bottle
comments
too.
And it's just a good thing. So,
yeah.
Well,
I
really appreciate you calling in and talking to us tonight and telling us all about your stuff, and tell people what your website is or Facebook page
okay.
and all that, how they can find
you. The best way, you know, if you want to get a hold of me, the best way
you know, my phone number is on my website, which is sweetsmoke2.com. All my information on that. You can send me an email. My email address is on there. It was Jim@sweetsmoke2.com, Jim Elser, or my sweetsmoke2 page. The best way to do it is send me an email or a message, because you know I'm busy and a lot of times, and I don't mind the phone calls. It just most of the time I don't get to them, and if you leave a message, it's gonna take me a while to get back to you. So if you got questions about the product or anything, if you want smoke, you know, cooker or smoker or something, whatever deals with barbecue, send me an email, send me a message, and I'll get back with you. If you want to try out some product, if you're looking for, you know, some advice on how to use it, you know, I'm here to help. I probably give too much information out. That's what I've been told, but I want to grow this sport, and I think it takes people not to get discouraged when they do their first cook or their couple cooks, because there was a point in my barbecue career that I was almost, you know, flip the coin to either give it up or continue, and that's when I bought my my current barbecue trailer, and I'm like, I'm gonna go all in. So I'm glad I stuck with it, and I don't want to get, I've been down the road where, you know, and we all have one. Once we started, we get discouraged. We're not happy what we're doing. You know, it's expensive. I just want to help people, and there's a lot of us out here on the competition trail that will help. We're not going to tell you exactly what we're doing, but you know, if you're struggling with something, we'll try to point you in the right direction. That's what I want to do. I want to grow the sport, because I think it's in the beginning stages, and I know Daryl will probably agree with me. It's got a lot more room to grow, and I think that, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully 5-10 years down the road, this will be a huge sport.
Well,
yeah, I say it's going to be the next NASCAR.
Take nothing for granted. I'm working my ass off behind the scenes. I'm going to make something big happen. And
oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Gonna,
like this, Darryl, you,
not,
and I
I'm not going to continue to keep doing the way I've been doing. We got to take this thing to the next level, and it's all about cash, baby. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm working on cash.
And I know, Darryl, I've told you this many times. You're doing the right thing for the sport, and you know we all appreciate your hard work and dedication to this, because it's going to take, it's not going to take one person. It's not going to take, you know, it's going to take a group effort.
Everybody.
It is. And I think
you guys have done your part. You did the interviews. You know, the content I got, and you know, one thing I'll share with you, Jim, is I had some television people come to me. I got picked up by a cable network now. I hadn't really put that out, and my main channel is pay-per-view now, because I had to make it higher than what the cable network's going to charge for it. But, I forgot what I was going to say. You guys did the interviews, and the television people told me, don't put the whole thing out. They said, do a little trailer. Don't put it all out. Well, I've never done that. I put everything out. I got everything I got, you know, 20 minutes to an hour. I got a couple hour things where, you know, there's so many dang fables about it that I wanted to debunk it all by putting the whole. And, boy, man, because nobody else puts anything completely out, I mean, you guys have gotten it everywhere. It wasn't me. It was you guys doing the interviews. You're willing to sit down with me and talk. Mm-hmm. And, it's changed the whole world, and what you guys have done with me has changed a lot of stuff. And
right.
I think I'm going after the cash now to try to finish the job.
I think what you're doing, and you know, Jennifer, and with all these programs out there, you know, especially for the new, you know, the newbies, you know, there's so much information to learn, you know, just by listening. When I was starting to get into this, I listened, you know, I was just all ears, and like a sponge, I was soaking up all this, you know, this information, and I still do, you know, I still listen, and I, you know, just so I'm, you know, always learning. And what you guys do with the radio and the, you know, and the internet and the TV, it's just gonna explode. I think in the next few years, we're in the beginning.
Absolutely.
I'm excited
You're
about
a big
it.
Part
I,
of
I love it.
You've always got on with me, just like this show tonight. And, you know, thank you. And thank everybody in the FBA. I mean, there's been a lot of teams. Rug Bagby, Dana Hillis, everybody's played ball and jumped on. I know it helped them, but it helped me too, but it helped us.
Right.
And, shoot, I appreciate it, Jim.
I appreciate you guys having on. Like I said, anytime you need to talk barbecue, I'm here. I love to talk it. It's my passion, and I could talk this, you know, hours and hours and hours. So appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and I'll definitely be thinking of a name for your guru, and I won't charge you anything if I come up with a cool
okay.
one.
All right, well, just shoot me some ideas, and then enjoy that pink drink.
Oh, yeah, I will. Thanks for the recipe, and thanks for coming on again, and we will talk to you soon, and good luck to at your contest this weekend.
Well, I always come to contests wanting to win, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get serious tomorrow about noon, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, we'll post your results so we'll all know, okay?
All right, we'll do. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Jim.
All right, bye.
Bye. Okay, Daryl, well, I'm going to let you go. I got to get the children's in the bed and all that good stuff. But if anybody wants to listen to the show tonight, if they didn't get to listen to all of it, you definitely need to go to archives and listen to it.
What a wonderful show, man.
It was, and he revealed a bunch about himself. I like learning, you know, the backstories on why he decided to cook or, you know, whatever. And I think that that's interesting to find out who truly is behind Sweet Smoke's, you know, Sweet Smoke Q and all that. And that was really cool. I had a good time tonight. And thanks for calling in and chatting with me.
I actually went and bought some Sprite and made what I thought was a pink drink. I'm so embarrassed.
You're going to have to go buy the right stuff. And tomorrow during your show, you'll have to drink a pink drink because I probably will be having one or five. So, because it is Friday after all. So we'll get the weekend started correctly.
Well, we're going to play us a little off about that bass just a little bit before we go out. And thanks, Jennifer, for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime, every week. We'll talk to you later, friend.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no side too. But I can shake it, like I'm supposed to do. I got that boom boom that all the boys shake. In all the right junk, in all the right places. I see the magazine, working that Photoshop. We know that shit ain't real, come on now make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. Every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry about size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold the night. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that.